World War II, The Call of Duty, A Complete Timeline. Written by Liam Dale. Narrated by Liam Dale. Chapter 1, The Road to War, September to December 1939. It's easy to look back at the past, study the history of war, and uncover dramatic reports of heroic exploits, daring deeds, evil megalomaniacs and vicious dictators, and all too soon you'll find yourself completely detached from such events. The turbulent wars that took place so long ago seem to have little connection with reality, and will in fact often be the stuff of legends. Whether you consider the conflicts of the ancient Greeks, the battles for Troy, or Alexander the Great's conquest for world domination, what we now know often owes more to movie makers of the more recent past's interpretations. War is about heroes, glory, and a rip-roaring story, and invariably the true horrors of human conflict are lost in the telling. What's more, the adage that history is only ever written by the victors is extremely accurate, or it was, until the wider use of photography and film developed through the course of the 20th century, painting a very different picture indeed. So to really understand the concept of war on a global scale, the World War II years of 1939-45 provide perhaps the first complete overview of man's inhumanity to man, alongside the bravery and heroism that show the very worst and the very best facets of human nature. Incredibly, there are archive images from every stage of this conflict, and as we consider the events of the Second World War chronologically, this book will build into the complete timeline. This is our past that we can truly connect with, revealing a history littered with living, breathing survivors who can still tell stories of the comradeship, hardship, suffering, and sadly on occasion, the futility of battle. However, we are already racing rather ahead of ourselves, because by the very fact of this being a Second World War, the events of the First World War are key to unravelling the whys and wherefores of everything from Adolf Hitler's rise to power in Germany right through to America's President Truman giving the order to bomb Hiroshima. The First World War, spanning the years of 1914 to 1918, is often referred to as the Great War, although there was little that was great about it. It was also called the War to End All Wars, which is rather a tragic misnomer with the benefit of hindsight. The figures for the casualties are staggering, with approximately 40 million people suffering injury on a very personal level, and at least half of these casualties proved to be fatal. This so-called Great War ended with an armistice at 11 a.m. on the 11th of November, the 11th month, 1918, after which the defeated German Empire had its own internal revolution, leading to the end of the monarchy and the setting up of Germany as a republic. Even after the armistice was signed, the victorious forces still kept up their blockades around the country. This led to imports and exports being severely reduced, which did little to help Germany to rebuild itself. In 1919, delegates from all over the world met in Paris to restore a sense of world order, harmony, and unity. The main objective was to prevent another war on this scale ever happening again, and the League of Nations was formed. The official treaty that marked the ending of the First World War came a little while after the Paris Peace Conference and formed the backbone of the League of Nations. The Treaty of Versailles was drawn up by the victorious Allies and signed by all parties on June 28, 1919. But many historians believe that this well-intentioned treaty did more to cause a Second World War rather than prevent it. Signed in Versailles' magnificent Hall of Mirrors, the only country not allowed to take part in the process was Germany. The repercussions and heavy penalties imposed were therefore unworkable and would create a national feeling of resentment and revenge. It was this lack of foresight that eventually would allow the extremist views of Adolf Hitler to not only be listened to, but also acted upon. And it wasn't only Germany that was dissatisfied with the outcome. Italy felt they should have done better, and Imperial Japan was unhappy about its failure to gain parts of China. We now know, of course, that these three countries would form a dangerous alliance with Germany, Italy,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?